Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you're able, when you're ready, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hear now the very words of God. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And then would you turn in your Bibles to our psalm for this evening, Psalm 28. Psalm 28 of David. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest, if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Amen. To the reading of God's word, let's pray. Father, thank you for these words of life. Thank you for this psalm that you have given to us. Help us tonight as we meditate upon it and glorify your name in the preaching and the hearing and the receiving of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want us to look at this psalm, Psalm 28, this evening, simply under four words. And the first word here we have is pleading. Pleading in verses 1 and 2. To you, Yahweh, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pits. David is pleading here. David is desperate. In fact, if you have the ESV, it begins with, to you, O Lord, I call. Literally, if you're going to translate it, you can translate it this way. To you, O Lord, I keep calling out. To you, O Lord, I keep calling out. That's how he begins this psalm, pleading to the Lord. Now, for us, it's not often, is it? But sometimes, have you not reached this point when all you can do is keep calling out to the Lord? Lord, I need you. Lord, I feel like I can't go on. Lord, please help me. Please help me. Now, not all of our prayers are like this. And not many of our prayers are like this, are they? We don't pray with this sort of desperation, for example, on Wednesday evenings. We don't really pray like this, or at least in our house, you know, as we're about to give thanks for a meal, here we are pleading, calling out to the Lord. We don't usually pray like this. And yet, aren't there moments, aren't there seasons when all we can do is keep calling out, verse 1, plead for mercy, verse 2, cry for help, verse 2, with our hands stretched out in David's situation to the most holy place, and ours with our hands stretched out to heaven, calling out to the Lord. Perhaps you've never been in this point of desperation that David is, but surely as you read Psalm 28, you can sense his desperation. He's really desperate. In fact, look at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. If you don't answer me, Lord, I'm going to die. I don't know if he's speaking literally there or not. Maybe he's like John Knox praying for Scotland. Lord, give me Scotland or I'll die. He's desperate. He's pleading with the Lord. He doesn't want to be like those who go down to the pit, as he says. Now this word pit comes up again in Psalm 30 and Psalm 88 and Psalm 143. Presumably he's speaking about the grave. And so David pleads to Yahweh, his rock. That's what he calls him, my rock. My last 2 years of high school, I used to go to school with my father. My father is a headmaster. He was my headmaster, which caused some awkward situations as the years went on, but I used to have to hitch a ride, as you call it, a lift, as we call it, with him. And I'd have to go in ridiculously early in the morning. But one of the nice things about going to school was you had to drive along this coastal road. And I remember, even in the daziness of 6:30 in the morning going to school, the waves smashing in against these rocks and crashing up into the air and landing on the car, and the window wipers going, washing the seawater away. And there's these rocks, and poor of course, these humongous rocks. And it didn't matter if the waves were lashing against him. It didn't matter if the wind was howling. It didn't matter if the tide, the current was intense. These rocks did not move. And here's David in Psalm 20, and he's been tossed around by the waves. Now, whether the waves in his situation is other people, perhaps enemies, probably other people's, we see from verses 3 through 5. Or whether it's just because he's daily confronted with the same godless, hedonistic, brash culture, just like we have. Or maybe the tide tossing David around is of his own making, because he keeps letting himself drift around in apathy. He keeps walking away from the Lord and willfully rebelling against God. I don't know, but Something is going on in his life. And sometimes God gives us over to ourselves. And nonetheless, all David could do and all we can do in these moments is cry out to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes the Lord allows us to allow the waves to crash over our heads in order that we get to the point where we cry out to God. And if you are there this evening, or when you get there, this is what you must do. You must cry out to God, cry out to the rock. I love this description of our God. It's a glorious description, just one small word, rock. That's what he is, isn't it? He is our rock. He's like those unflinching Porthcawl rocks. He doesn't get whipped around by the waves. He doesn't falter under the crashing waves. He's not unstable. Our God is immovable and steady and strong and immutable. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock of our salvation. And when you're struggling, brothers and sisters, you do what David does in Psalm 28. You do what David does in Psalm 61 when he says, "From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And again in the scriptures we have this description of the Lord. David and Moses and Hannah and Isaiah refer over and over to the Lord as our rock. Perhaps most striking of all is in 2 Samuel chapter 22, when David is actually coming towards the end of his life, and apparently these waves and tumult in our lives don't stop as we get old. And there was me looking forward to retirement. But listen to what he says even at the end of his life. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." And listen to his description. "For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God. I called." Even in his old age, David was still calling out to his rock. And David was not a rock. And you this evening, you are not a rock. My mother tells me, and I'm not criticizing her because she's trying to be affectionate, but she calls me her rock. And I'm saying, "Mum, I'm not your rock." Paul Simon gazes from his window on a deep and dark December day saying, "I am a rock, I am an island." Not true. We're unstable and we're sinful and we are feeble and there is only one rock. We must flee to him, the immovable, the secure, the all-powerful Yahweh. There's only one rock. And Paul, as we read, he talks about the rock that followed Israel through the sea and through the wilderness and gave Israel spiritual water. And he simply says in 1 Corinthians 10, the rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is the immovable, irresistible, all-powerful, thirst-quenching, soul-nurturing, sea-calming rock. Jesus Christ is the rock that was struck to gush out waters of life. And so when you're struggling, I say to you this evening, whether it's because of your circumstances, whether it's because of your enemies, whether it's because of your own folly, you can say, as Augusta's top lady said when huddled in a gorge in the midst of a storm in 1763, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Pleading with the Lord. Secondly, the second word here is differentiating. Differentiating in verses 3 through 5. Now, we're not going to spend much time on this because only a few weeks ago we looked at Psalm 26. And this is really the same thing as Psalm 26, where David wants God to see that he is not with the wicked. Don't lump me in with those wicked hypocrites. Speak to me, Lord. Answer me, lest I be treated like those who hate you and who defy you, Lord. He doesn't want to be associated with these people. And so he asks God to answer him and actually ask God to judge them. And there is a place for Christians to pray imprecatory prayers, bearing in mind that when we pray imprecatory prayers, when we pray for God's judgment on other people, it is motivated, it's fueled for the jealousy for God's honor, verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands. So we have differentiating. But thirdly, let's move on. The third word here is praising. Praising in verses 6 through 8. Look at verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed." Now this is quite striking, isn't it? This massive transformation in Psalm 28. The whole psalm just shifts. In verse 2, he says, "Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy." But then in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy." Hear my pleas for mercy. He's heard them. Now, if you read the commentators in Psalm 28, they give two possible explanations. The first explanation is that, well, as David was writing this psalm, something happened in his life between verse 2 and verse 6, and he knew the Lord heard him. The Lord intervened. Or the second explanation that some commentators give is that even as David was praying this prayer, the Lord gave him assurance that the Lord would intervene. And therefore, he can write verse 6. I would suggest to you that it might not be either of those things. It's not that the Lord did intervene, or that the Lord gave David some sort of assurance that he was going to intervene, but rather that in the midst of this, God gave him the assurance that God hears and that God is. It's not necessarily that God is going to intervene. It's simply the assurance of the reality that God hears and that God is. And that's all we need, isn't it? To know that God is. God hears us when we call. Parents here, you know, sometimes your child is crying in the night. And I remember this with Gwyneth, having to go in the middle of the night. And she didn't want anything. She just wanted to know that someone was there. And I think that's what's going on here. It's not that, you know, he's got this message that God is going to make everything okay in his life. But he does have the assurance that God is and that God hears when we call and that God is with him. This is David's experience, that regardless of what has happened or what will happen, God reached down and touched David's soul with the assurance that God is his. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts. And with my song, I give thanks to him. It's enough for David to know that God is with him, that God is his, and that he is God's. It's the same sort of thing in the Song of Solomon, isn't it? Song of Solomon, isn't it? The Shulamite bride. Chapter 2, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Chapter 6, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Chapter 7, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. That's what she wants. That's what all she needs. His desire is for her. The hymnist says, oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine in a love which cannot cease. I am his and he is mine. And that's all David has and that's all David needs and that's all we need. In the worst of our circumstances, the desperatest situations, I am his and he is mine. And sometimes, isn't it true, brothers and sisters, we imagine that we can live in our own strength. We may not say it, but we live as if we can succeed without him, and the humdrum of our lives or in our marriages or in our parenting or in our relationships or in our, or whatever it is. Not that we'd ever say it. But sometimes God, by his grace, brings us to the place where we realize how feeble we are. But praise God in those moments that we realize that we're helpless, but we're not hopeless. And that he, verse 7 and 8, he is my strength. The rock that followed and nourished Israel is my rock. And as we realize that, even if we don't know the future, when we realize he is a rock, how can we not, as David does in Psalm 28, praise him? So that's the third word there, is praising. But the fourth word I want you to see here in Psalm 28 is interceding. Interceding in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. After praising God for his assurance and testifying to God's covenant protection for his people, David then begins to intercede for the people of God. And he uses four words here: save, bless, shepherd, and carry. Now, as we think about this, isn't this remarkable? Here's David, and he's in a desperate situation. If the Lord doesn't hear him, he's going to go down to the pit. And what do we find him doing? He's praying for the people of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that shames me to the dust. That in his extremities, he is found praying for God's people. And of course, as we look at Psalm 28, we can't help, I hope, but look beyond David to the Lord Jesus Christ, who also knew what it was to keep calling out for mercy and crying out for help in verses 1 and 2. To Jesus Christ, who also didn't want to go down to the pit as he lay numbered with the transgressors like those in verses 3 through 5. Who also praised God and sung songs of thanksgiving and testified to God's faithfulness. Jesus is also the one who intercedes for his people. You see him interceding for his people even on the cross. And as he rose again and ascended into heaven, he passed through the heavens, and now he is seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and there he intercedes and he prays for us. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ this very night is at the right hand of the Father, pouring out prayer after prayer to the Father. And what is he praying? Save, bless, shepherd, carry. That's what he's doing. He's praying for the Father to do these things for us. What a thought. Jesus interceding for me even now. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, that's something to remember. As you face the uncertainty of the future, that's something to remember when you feel like you're being bashed around by the tide. Something to remember when you're crying out to God. That the immovable rock on which we stand is there at the Father's side. Save, bless, shepherd, carry. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Psalm 28, even for these brief meditations, for the reminder that you are our rock, that you hear and answer us, even as we are tossed around by the wickedness and the folly and the desperations of our experience here on earth. We cry out to you, our rock. And we pray, O Lord, that whatever befalls us, that you would always give us the assurance, not necessarily that you're going to intervene, but the assurance that you are our God and we are yours. That we belong to you. That we are in covenant with you. And Lord, in those moments, even in the hardest of days, would you give us the grace to praise you for your faithfulness to us, to praise you for your strength even in our weakness, and even to pray for our brothers and sisters as Christ prays for us, for we pray in his name. Amen.